Hey everybody, Crash here. It is day one. Overland Expo is complete. I got a couple interviews. I interviewed Pete from Moscow Moto, and I apologize in advance because I botched the name of Moscow Moto in the beginning of our interview. So Moscow Moto, not Moscow Moto. And then I also interviewed someone from the Motorcycle Relief Project, and you can find them at motorelief.org. We got a little confused on the URL during the interview, so just look up Motorcycle Relief Project on Google or go to motorelief.org. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the interviews. It was great talking to both people, and expect some photos and videos and stuff to be up on the site as well. Enjoy. Okay, so we're here with Pete from Moscow Moto. You guys have some brand new, as of like just debuted, apparel.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like a new, you guys have done the luggage for a good while, and I got the rundown from Scott on the apparel, and I'm super excited to talk to you about it. So,
cool, right on.
Where do we start? Like, I guess the base layer is probably the place to start.
Or maybe at the high level, the concept of what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, obviously there's a lot of motorcycle apparel out there, and so, you know, and we are coming at it from a very kind of dirt and enduro touring perspective. So we're starting with the dirt bike gear and saying, how can we make this kind of ADV capable? Because for myself and pretty much everybody I ride with now, almost nobody is wearing the big kind of ADV jackets with the hanging inside liners and the integrated armor. All of us are using our dirt bike gear, but then using some kind of a waterproof shell over the top of it to keep ourselves dry or to keep ourselves warm when it gets cold. But then when it gets hot, we want to be able to take our jackets off without losing the protection of the armor. So and so if you want a jacket like that, there's not a whole lot out there.
No, you're definitely... Like, you talking about that, my sort of, like, adventure touring setup is a big, poofy, you know, multiple layers thing that's all zipped together or whatever.
Yeah, they're sort of big, heavy garments, and they try to accomplish an awful lot in a single garment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have one of these jackets where your armor is in the jacket, and then you're in the desert on a hot day, and you've got a big adventure bike stuck in some sand wash, and you're trying to wrestle it through, you're just dying. I mean, it's just so hot, but you can't take the jacket off because it's got your armor in it, and, and you're riding in challenging riding, you want to be protected. And so that's why we separate the armor. So we take, if you think of a traditional adventure jacket, it's got three components. There's the shell, the waterproof breathable shell, then there's the hanging inside liner, and then there's the armor, which is suspended in the liner.
Yeah.
So what we do is, and what dirt bikers do, is we separate that into three different layers.
Yeah.
So there's a shell, there's a mesh jersey, and then there's an armor suit, an armor, people call it a pressure suit or body armor kit that pulls over your upper body.
Right. So, I know you got some of them are more like a shirt, some of them strap on, right?
Yeah, there's two different types. Yeah, we have one that's an armored shirt and one that's a harness.
Yeah.
I wear the harness, but other people on our team prefer the shirt. It's a little bit lighter duty. Both of them are CE2 approved, but the armor, the harness is a little bit larger, but also more protective, and I feel a little bit more ventilated. But you know, this is like definitely, if you go to the motocross track or you look at people riding single track in an OHV area, they're all wearing separate body armor. Nobody's wearing jackets with integrated armor because they're working athletically on the bike. And
there's like the moto pants and then like a jersey and a roost guard and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so this is taking that concept and beefing it up to CE2 armor. And, you know, what you, like a lot of, for myself, for many years before we started using our own prototypes, I was riding with just kind of a base layer, armor, a jersey, and then I would wear like a ski or snowboard, like an Arc'teryx shell over the outside of it, or Patagonia shell. And the problem with those things is that the materials, while technically very awesome, the materials are not very heavy duty.
No, they're really thin and light.
So they flap a lot. So when you actually do get out on the highway, they're not going to offer you any abrasion resistance or protection if you go down on the pavement. And they flap a lot.
Yeah, that flapping gives you that like numb feeling to your skin, like that weird tingling kind of sensation.
I did a trip out to Minnesota on an 1150 from Washington, and the first half of the trip was dirt, and the second half was pavement. And I decided to experiment with my Arc'teryx shell on that trip over dirt bike stuff, and it was fine for the dirt. But when I got out on the pavement, it was just flapping like crazy, and I had like 2 days of riding like that. I was like driving nuts. So that's one of the advantages of the heavier duty materials. Plus, if you go for a slide, you want to have protection.
Yeah, like, for sure.
So we use a really heavy duty expedition level Event fabric. Event is our membrane. It's a really cool membrane.
So Event would be like your durable waterproof layer, right? Your
Event would be our equivalent to Gore-Tex.
Okay.
So The DWR is this treatment that goes on the outside, but the eVent is the membrane. So we use there's a lot of different types of membranes and fabrics out there that people use in waterproof, breathable garments. We use what's called a three-layer fabric. So there's a really tough outer face fabric, then there's a waterproof, breathable membrane, and then an inner, softer fabric that goes up against your skin.
Okay.
And so all the three of them are laminated together into a single fabric.
Yeah.
So it's actually three separate fabrics that are produced separately, and then they're laminated together to make one fabric.
Right. So like the super fabric, the outer.
And then we that's another layer.
Okay.
In certain areas. Yeah. So the eVent is what provides the waterproof, breathable protection.
Sure.
So when we say waterproof, breathable, we mean that the membrane has pores in it, which are small enough to prevent water from getting through, but large enough to allow water vapor and air to get out.
Right.
That's the waterproof, breathable. Then over the top of that, we'll put super fabric, which is also another waterproof, breathable membrane, but then it has these ceramic platelets applied to it.
Right.
So it's almost like a scaly kind of armor.
Yeah, that's a, like, highly abrasion resistant.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's pretty much the most abrasion resistant material you can possibly get your hands on.
Yeah. Yeah. I recognized it from I have some gear that has it on it, and I recognize it on your jacket.
So you'll see on a lot of other garments, people use it in very small patches.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put a little bit on the elbow or a little bit on the shoulder or a little bit on the knee.
Yeah.
Because it's extremely expensive.
Right.
If you look at our jacket, your entire upper body is covered in it.
Yeah.
All the way down the outside of the arms, up over the shoulders, the upper back, the chest, all the spots that hit the ground when you go flying off the bike.
Yeah.
And then we have the super fabric, but underneath it is our Expedition eVent. So it's actually two layers of fabric. Even if you went for a gnarly slide and you did some kind of damage to the super fabric, you're still going to stay waterproof, because underneath the super fabric is a whole other layer of eVent.
Okay.
It's a very expensive way to build things.
Yeah.
But because those fabrics are both, super fabric is insanely expensive and eVent is insanely expensive, and we have one of them over the other.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but it's a very, very highly engineered product. Yeah.
Yeah. With all of our stuff, our apparel, I mean, we have a couple hand pockets, a pocket for a cell phone, a few simple pockets like that, but we don't need the 20 pockets. You know what I mean? That stuff's like, I don't want to have all that stuff in my body if I go flying off the bike.
Right.
And I don't use them, you know? And we want a jacket that's light and nimble, and it's really designed for riding athletically. And
yeah.
So that's what we built.
So then that jacket has no armor attached to it.
No armor.
No.
Yeah.
You're only dealing with, that's your outer shell.
Yeah.
Your waterproof.
Yeah.
And your abrasion resistance.
Yeah.
And then you take that off, you've got your either harness or shirt level sort of.
So the traditional, so here's the layering. So once you've decided you want to split up your gear into layers, which it gives you two things. It gives you better temperature control, because now when it's hot, you can take your jacket off. When it's cold, you put your jacket back on.
Yep.
And it gives you better impact protection, because you can use better armor with more coverage than what you get in those little inserts that go in the mesh liners. You're using the same stuff that people use when they're dirt biking, when they're motocross, when they're jumping, they're riding through trees at high speed. It's using much better protection, and the armor is not floating in this mesh layer.
Right,
in this mesh
thing. It's attached to
your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's right there. So you're going to have a base layer. Then you're going to put your armor over the base layer.
Yeah.
And then most of us put a mesh jersey over the armor. And that's what we're riding in maybe 90% of the time, depending on the type of riding.
Yeah.
Then the jacket comes out when you're cold, you're wet, or you're going for a long pavement stretch and you want the abrasion protection.
Yeah.
So that's your kit. And this literally, like, if you're riding places like South America where you're going through really hot, humid terrain, and then suddenly you're climbing and you're up at altitude and it's really cold and chilly and dry, and then you go back down again and it's hot, and that can happen in a single day.
Yeah.
You know, and so this way when you go up at altitude, put your jacket on, when you go down, you take it off.
Right. And then the pants, I noticed the pants have, you know, similar large areas of super fabric.
Yep.
And then the venting in the pants, the vents all the way in. Like, it's not, a lot of companies are, there's like the vent, but the Gore-Tex layer or whatever is still covering the vent. Yours vent straight to the skin,
we instead of using big storm flaps, we use a really high quality YKK AquaGuard Vizlon AquaGuard zipper. So we use the best zipper. Everything on our stuff is like literally the best we can get our hands on. There's no like, oh, you know, this one's $2 cheaper, let's use that. Nothing on our jacket has that. Nothing.
Yeah.
From the fabrics to the trims, nothing. But anyway, on those vents, the on the knees, we have a big scoop vent on the knee. And then we have a huge thigh vent, and then we have exhaust vents on the back of the thigh. So when you're sitting on the bike, the scoop vent on the knee opens up, and the air just blows directly across your thigh and exits out the back of the pant. They're so well ventilated.
Yeah.
And on top of that, our base fabric is E-Vent, which has its direct venting technology, so it has a small amount of air permeability too.
Sure.
So it's pretty remarkable. When I first started using E-Vent gear, I was on a trip in Baja, and I couldn't believe it. I just felt like I should be sweating more. You know, yeah. I was wearing them. Like, I remember we hiked up to some little cave to look at some petroglyphs, and I was like, man, I feel like I should be a lot hotter. You know, and like, but it really works. Like, yeah. It's neat.
That's really awesome. I like the little demo you guys have over there with the
little bubbler.
Yeah. So for, you know, this is an audio thing, obviously. You've got like a jar with a section of fabric and then like a pump from a blood pressure cuff, so you can pump up the air underneath the vent and watch the air come up through the water.
Yeah. So we pour the water on top of the fabric, so you can see that the water's not going through it, and then we put the air pressure underneath the fabric, and you can see the bubbles go through the water, and then you can take a Gore-Tex swatch, put it in the exact same tester, pump it up, and nothing gets through it. I mean, the air, just there's no bubbles.
Yeah. I've ridden in a lot of Gore-Tex gear, and it's waterproof.
Yeah.
I will not argue the fact that it does not let me get wet.
Yeah.
But I am not convinced it lets me sweat and breathe either.
Well, you know, when people use the term breathability is a misnomer, because I think when you and I talk about breathability, we probably picture breath, like right, breathing in and out, right? But that suggests the passage of air.
Yeah.
But that's not what they mean when they talk about breathability with respect to waterproof breathable garments.
Okay.
When waterproof breathable garments, they're talking about moisture vapor transmission rate, MVTR.
Okay.
So they're talking about
the transmission. Really,
yes, it is. Oh boy, this is like a rabbit hole of technical stuff.
Yeah.
That I knew nothing about 5 years ago. And I'm still not sure how much I know. It's very confusing, but there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot of information online.
Yeah.
A lot of good YouTube videos and stuff like that. But So MVTR is actually basically you get hot and humid inside the garment, and then some of that humidity transfers through the pores in the membrane and escapes.
Yeah.
That's MVTR. It's not air permeability. And this is where the key distinction between Gore-Tex and E-Vent. They both use the same basic technology of this membrane that's stretched with the pores that don't let water through but does let vapor. But they differ in how they protect that membrane from your skin oils. So Gore-Tex puts a blanket treatment across it that keeps the skin oil out, but it also removes the air permeability.
Okay.
E-Vent treats the individual fibers around the pores, so it coats those. It protects them individually instead of doing this layer that blocks the air. So they leave the pores intact.
Okay.
That's the difference between... That's really the only difference.
So that's what allows the air to actually make
pass.
It out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it's a really neat thing. If you go in the climbing and mountaineering forums and look at the posts from people that have now switched from Gore-Tex to E-Vent, almost universally you'll see that they have to wear additional insulating layers when they're climbing. So that's...
Because they find out that they're getting cooler faster.
They're getting cooler, yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
That's interesting.
That's really cool. I literally knew none of that. I hadn't even heard of E-Vent until I talked to Scott this morning.
Yeah.
And he rattled off some numbers at me, and I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's this whole level of thought and technology and whatever that's going on.
Oh, it's
that
deep,
that
man. Yeah. I have to stop myself as I start talking about it. And I mean, but the main things that people talk about are waterproofing, breathability as it applies to moisture vapor transmission rate, and then air permeability. Those are the three kind of key metrics.
Yeah.
The waterproofing is based on how tall of a column of water would you have to put on top of this fabric before the pressure of that water force the water through the fabric.
Okay.
So when they say 20,000, so they talk about a 2020 garment. You'll hear that a lot. That's like the gold standard in the ski industry, 2020 garment. That means 20,000 millimeters of water, the column would have to be 20,000 millimeters high before the water made it through the fabric. Then the second 20,000 applies to the MVTR, and that's a measurement of moisture vapor transmission through the garment. So that's the numbers. And so, for example, our Deluge is E-Vent's Alpine. So that's a 2020 garment. That's our rain jacket.
Yeah.
But then our full-on enduro touring jacket, the Basilisk, is a 3010 garment.
Okay. So the jacket that we've been talking about, this whole system we've been talking about, is like the Basilisk jacket and pants.
Yep.
And the Force Field shirt. And then the jersey and then the mesh base layer.
Yeah, the Signal jersey and the Imbricate base layer.
Okay.
Yeah, we use a lot of lizard names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I noticed. Your, you know, your logo is a lizard. It makes sense.
Yeah, everything's a lizard. But yeah, so we also have the Deluge, and which is not a lizard name, oddly. But anyway, that one is our kind of ultralight packable. So that's the kit you take when you're trail riding. You want to put it in your backpack and forget about it. It packs down tiny.
That's more of your like stereotypical emergency rain gear kind of a thing.
A little bit, except that we used a crazy good fabric on it.
Sure.
So
yeah, yeah. It's like not this, that like you're not. It's not that PVC.
No.
Crap.
And it's not. It's not the shitty I don't know if I can say that on the
you can
podcast.
Say that's
I can curse.
Fine.
Okay, good. It's not that stuff you get it like when you go into like GI Joe's or Big Five Sporting Goods and you buy some waterproof breathable and it's like some crappy two-layer rain jacket. Like we, you know, you design the jacket and then you can decide what you're going to make it out of.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had a moment where we said, okay, is this going to be cheap or is it going to be friggin' awesome? And there's so many $120 two-layer rain jackets out there. There's just no point. We used literally the best stuff we could find, and it's really cool. It's a three-layer event.
It even feels nice. Like it doesn't. Nice. It doesn't feel. Yeah. Like you're gonna walk around like
no,
as you know,
anybody who touches it can tell the difference.
Yeah, and it's not like, no offense to frog togs, but like those things work, but they're the most disgusting fabric.
Yeah, totally.
On earth, like it's like, what the hell is this made of?
It's a really, really wonderful fabric that we have on the Deluge, and so the Deluge also is designed to interface with our Basilisk,
mm-hmm.
and also with other adventure touring kits. So say you have an adventure touring kit that's made out of a good waterproof breathable fabric, but maybe you have some abrasion spots on it, or you have some seam tape peeling off, or you have, for whatever reason, water's getting into it. You've had it for a while and it's not as waterproof as it used to be. You can pair that up with the Deluge, put the two together, and have a really killer waterproof kit, because our pant on the Deluge is an over pant. Our jacket is an under jacket.
Yeah.
So if you're out riding and say your old ADV suit and, you know, it starts raining, you're like, oh, I got this, no problem. Well, keep going. But then you're like, oh, actually, this is going to be going on for a while. I don't want to get wet. You can pull this out, pull on the over pant, put on the take your ADV jacket off, put the Deluge on, put the ADV jacket over the top of it.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, it's super thin. It's not. Yeah. It's not like going to add a lot of bulk to your suit or anything.
No. And it also works around camp. I mean, it's a really cool looking jacket. Yeah. You can wear it to the store. You know?
It packs down really small.
Packs down tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's part of its claim to fame. You know, so you're making a trade-off between packability and abrasion resistance.
Yeah.
There's a trade-off.
So the new products are the Basilisk.
Yeah.
Which is the whole suit, badass touring.
Enduro touring kit. Yeah.
The Deluge, which is the rain gear.
Ultralight packable trail rain gear kit.
Yeah. The jersey new.
Yeah, jersey's new. The Signal jersey.
Signal jersey.
Yeah.
Not a lizard, by the way. Unless there's a Signal
lizard. No, it
lizard.
Is. The signaling is what they lizard? Do to, like, attract mates. Yeah, when they do their, like, changing colors.
Oh, okay, okay. Like that, yeah. All right. So, still lizard-related.
Yeah. We had to stretch.
Yeah. And then the
Imbricate. Imbricate base layer.
Imbricate.
Yeah. And that's the process of shedding skin.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right.
I think I have that right. That's Scott.
That's funny. All of the lizard tie-ins.
Oh, man. And we also have the autonomous belt. I'm wearing it right now. The autonomous belt.
Yeah, I saw that.
It comes with a pant. Our pants come with a belt, a proper belt. And
yeah, because your pants aren't, they don't have like the big bulky Velcro adjusters.
Yeah, we can't stand those things.
And yeah, they're so, like, my problem in them is the plastic buckle that it always digs into my hip.
Totally. Or the Velcro, if it's the Velcro ones, the Velcro sometimes comes up and rubs on your skin. And I just have never liked, or they come loose at the worst possible moment.
Yeah.
Man, it seems very strange. And by the way, this is a really nice belt we designed here.
It looks good, really quality good. Leather. Yeah, full but green they, leather.
Yeah, we were like, we like the idea of an old school belt, but not, people don't typically pair something like a leather belt with an extremely high-tech, waterproof, breathable sports garment. But in our sport, because we're not just sport riding, we're also traveling, you know, and it kind of makes sense. Like, if you're riding around the world, like, this is the stuff that you're living in. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
And also, it's one less thing, because you still got a belt anyway in your bags mm-hmm. to put on your normal pants,
yeah.
so why not just wear it when you're on the bike?
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, especially if you're doing, like, an around the world or, like, a really long trip, you know, and you've got a pair of normal people pants, so you can walk around and not look like the adventure rider that just rolled into town.
Yeah, totally.
You can just, you know, trade off and take the belt and...
So I was going to tell you about the autonomous belt. That name, autonomous, is the process by which they, you know, they shed their tails if you grab them.
Oh, okay,
you know,
they
can disconnect their tail and take off.
Yeah, and it, that's where the like name a gecko comes or a salamander grows back.
Exactly, it grows back, yeah.
Nice.
That's the belt, yeah.
So
and also the force field armor.
Okay, force field armor.
We have the armor harness and then the armor shirt.
Yeah, and your under layer that goes underneath the
base layer.
Uh-huh. I noticed Scott was telling me that's like especially like kind of like specially made to fit underneath the straps.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we made it a little long so it can tuck in.
The short sleeves
and also
are a
the sleeves
long,
are long to go down under like body armor. So
yeah, so that the straps don't irritate your skin.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a really nice stretch and it's antimicrobial, anti-stink. I can go for days in that thing without having to wash it, which is really cool.
Nice.
But I'm not promising that. Yeah, there are some people are.
Some people have an especially powerful odor.
Totally. But we did what we could. You know what I mean? It's treated. And, you know, it should help.
All right. So, moscomoto.com is where to find this
Moscomoto.com.
Right. M-O-S-K-A-O. Moto.
M-O-S-K-O. M-O-T-O.
I don't know why I added that extra letter.
M-O-S-K-O-M-O-T-O.com. And if you're in Europe, we also have a distribution center in the Netherlands. So we have moscomoto.eu.
All right.
You buy from our European store.
I'm assuming you guys are on social media, too. You can find, just
yep,
look up Moscomoto.
We do all the Facebooks and the Instagrams and all the things.
Yeah, and the Twitters and
the tweet. Actually, we don't do much tweeting.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't know what it is about Twitter. I just have never gotten into it.
I haven't either. I don't think anyone on our team does, so we don't really do it. But we do a lot on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for talking to me, and hopefully the wind will calm down tomorrow, and I can get a video of this stuff. I'm definitely gonna. I posted some pictures of it already today, so hopefully everybody can get a look at it. Really quickly, one thing before we go, I want to say I said it to you earlier. I love the colors of the jacket, especially the green.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
You were saying that you guys kind of are going for a more like outdoor gear color style.
I mean, for me, this is an outdoor, I consider this an outdoor sport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is like, we're camping, we're out, this is backpacking off a motorbike.
Yeah.
And the really obnoxious colors and the motocross thing and the Monster Energy drink and all that stuff, it just doesn't appeal to me. And
all the big logos and...
It always looks so out of place to me when we're out camping.
Yeah, because that's like the more like race-inspired sort of look.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which has a place.
Yep, it does have a place. But in fact, I was just in a desert race a couple weeks ago, and one of the wonderful things about all that crazy logo wear is that when you're surrounded by other racers and you all have your helmets on, you can recognize your friends.
Yeah.
You know? But when we're out camping in the backcountry, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that jacket looks great. Like it would look good. You know, you're walking into town, whatever. Hop off the bike and get to lunch. Like you don't look slightly ridiculous.
Totally. I mean, you that feeling of walking, especially when you're in other countries, like people think you're an astronaut, man. It looks like you're riding in a scuba suit. You know, I mean, it's like crazy. And that's another thing. I mean, like, you know, my ski gear, I'll wear that when I go up to the grocery store if it's raining out. Mm-hmm. You know, but motorcycle jacket, no way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an issue when you're traveling around the world. You're living off the bike for a couple of years, even on a trip of a month or a couple of months, where you're living in your gear.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a jacket so that, like, I know a lot of around the world travelers, they have their motorcycle jacket and then they have another waterproof breathable jacket in their duffel, which is what they wear when they're not riding.
Yeah.
You know, why can't they be the same jacket? Well,
right.
Part of it is the ADV jacket has this big liner, all this
bulky
armor,
all that sort of
stuff. So once we got rid of that, now we're like, we have the opportunity for this to be a jacket that you're not embarrassed to wear, which is one less thing you have to stuff in your duffel when you go on a long trip.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, again, thanks for talking about it with me. And,
my pleasure.
You know, I hope you guys have great success. It looks super cool.
Thanks. Well, we're super excited to show it, and we're really proud of it, and hopefully people will check it out and love it.
Yeah, moscomoto.com. Go there, buy some stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm here with Rob Williams from the Motorcycle Relief Project. You guys do therapeutic motorcycle tours for veterans, right?
We do, yes.
Okay, so first of all, can you explain what that means?
So what we do is we take... veterans from all branches of service, and including
even the Coast Guard.
We are flexible.
I don't know.
Even though they're Department of Transportation and not actually a part of the branch of the military, we do still take them. and we've had all from all branches of service. We've even had international riders. The guy you just met outside is from the Australian Army. We've had Australian Air Force.
Yeah, he did
Canadians.
Talk kind of funny.
He did. It's got a Boston accent. I get it. But yeah, we take with PTSD, depression, and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
We put them on BMW motorcycles. We take them around the Colorado mountains for 5 days. We ride during the day.
Mm-hmm.
We do a little bit of on-road, a little bit of off-road. They have to have at least 1 year of motorcycle riding experience.
Right.
And then in the evenings, we come back to a cabin or a campsite of some type, and we do workshops, and it's reintegration, welcome back from deployment, how to deal with your demons, things like that.
Wow, okay.
It's at no cost to the veteran whatsoever. All you have to do is, the only cost involved is you getting to us.
Okay, so like the bike, the food, the lodging.
Everything. We have all of the boots, pants, jackets, oh, wow, helmets. We provide the fuel, we provide the bike, we provide the food, lodging, everything. There is no cost whatsoever to the veteran.
Just showing, you just have to get to, yep, the airport.
And we'll even come get you sometimes, depending on the situation.
Okay.
So yeah. Awesome. We've had people from Hawaii, Alaska, all corners of the United States, and Australia, as we talked about.
That's incredible.
It is. It's entirely run by volunteers, mm-hmm, except for one, there's one paid employee.
Yeah.
And it's entirely run by donations. Everything, okay, is donated. We have a fleet of 16 motorcycles.
Yeah.
All different sizes, everything from 650 up to 1200. So we can
pretty much the full gamut of BMW adventure bikes.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
And yeah, all the, you know, we've got tank bags donated by Wolfman Luggage. Mm-hmm. We've got bikes that have been donated by past riders and present riders and interested individuals. Everything is, you know, we wrench on our own bikes. All those bikes are maintained by us.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a pretty in-depth project, to say the least.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Wow. So how did it get started?
So the founder's name is Tom Larson, and Tom had a lot of, he was getting help for his mental health, and he was told by his therapist that he has a form of PTSD. He didn't know what that really meant, and started doing some research and kind of met someone with a therapy dog and he asked the person about their dog, and he said, the dog is for my PTSD. And he's like, oh, well, I just found out that I have that as well. Well, one thing turned into another. Tom starts the Motorcycle Relief Project in an effort to help veterans and help them deal with their demons.
Yeah, kind of like give them a little like education on stuff. And also, like, anybody that rides motorcycles knows that sort of like hyper-focus that you need when you're riding is a really like kind of zen thing that can help relax you and like get your, like, clear your head and all that sort of stuff. So
it's wind therapy, man. And it absolutely works the way it's supposed to.
Nice. That's awesome.
We've put 203 riders through the program so far.
Okay. How long have you guys been doing it?
4 years, I believe it was. We established, okay, Christmas Eve of 2016. So what are we at now? 2019. So yeah, 3-4 years. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. Exactly.
So let's see what else. If somebody knows a veteran, or if you're a veteran and you hear this and you're like, oh, that sounds something I'd want to be, maybe I should try to like apply for that. How does somebody do that?
So they go to motorcyclerelief.org. Mm-hmm. You can add the www in there.
Yeah,
We're also all over social media as Motorcycle Relief Project. You reach out to any one of us through there. We'll send you an application. Mm-hmm. You fill out the initial application, and that's just to kind of get you in the system and, sure, get you felt out. If it's decided that we're going to move you on, you get to fill out a secondary application, and it's a little bit more in-depth,
yeah,
just so we get to know about your past medical history,
sure,
how we can accommodate you with a secondary application.
Right. I mean, you guys are doing some, like, mental health training and sort of, like, like workshop stuff, so you'd want to know just, like, to help tailor that sort of stuff to the people you're going to have.
Yep, and right, I'm sure. Just to make sure that they're not on you know, anything that's going to disqualify, is not the right word, not set them up for optimal success with the program.
Sure.
And then what'll happen once you've passed the secondary application, you'll get a phone call from one of our volunteers,
mm-hmm,
and they'll kind of do a phone interview with you, make sure that it's a good fit for you, that you're looking to get help, that you're comfortable riding what we're going to be doing,
yeah,
and that, you know, you're willing to participate in the program that we're going to put you through.
Right. And then so for the other side of it, if you're somebody that wants to get involved and, like, I want to donate or help out somehow, like, same website, I'm assuming?
It is absolutely the same website, and there's as you scroll to the bottom of the page, there's a spot where you can make donations. Again, the program is entirely run by volunteers and run on donations. Every single one of the volunteers, like all the guys you met out there at the tent,
yep,
is every one of them is a past participant.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be a past participant in order to be a volunteer.
Awesome.
Because that's who people relate to.
Yeah.
You relate to people that you know, military... Mutual suffering brings bondage,
yeah,
and partnership. So yeah, and what happens is then you become part of what's called our alumni,
mm-hmm,
and you're part of a closed group. We don't share your information; it doesn't go anywhere. We do not allow press to come with us on our rides. There,
yeah,
are no, you know, the photographs are highly staged for exactly that reason. Your anonymity is very, very important to us, so we don't You're not going to see us on TV. You're not going to see us places like that. We want you to... We're here to help, long story short, not advertise.
That makes sense, and I appreciate that. So, just to make sure I have it right, so it's motorcyclerelief.org?
I believe the website should be motorelief.org, yes.
Okay. And if it turns out to be something else, I'll make sure to post on social media that, like, if I botched it.
A quick Google is easy to find, but it is motorelief.org, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, you guys are on social media as Motorcycle Relief Project on Facebook, Instagram.
And Twitter.
Twitter.
Yep, absolutely.
And you're here at the Overland Expo this weekend. What, do you guys have any other, like, venues you're going to anytime soon?
We spent a lot of time at the BMW and my Motorcycle Owners Association events.
Okay, yeah, there's one coming up soon, right?
Yep, in Tennessee.
Okay,
in Lebanon, Tennessee. We'll be there. I believe it's next month.
Yeah, I have a friend that works for them. He's going to be there. So
yeah.
I'll have him try to remember to have him swing by you guys and say
absolutely. Absolutely. And if your listeners, if they even know a veteran that might be interested in something like this, send them our link. Send them our direction. We're really good about taking people that are not interested in getting kind of any help and not kind of...
It is so windy out there.
It really is. It's crazy. And we're really good about talking them into coming and participating with our
That's
program.
That's great.
Because we want our brothers and sisters to get that help.
Yeah. So this is... Is there like a kind of person that you're like looking for specifically to, like, I'm trying to think of how to word this. My brain is not functioning.
We're looking for people that want to work on it.
Yeah.
For the person that we have people that have reached out to us. We're like, I have PTSD. I'm not interested in working on it. I'm just want to look for the free motorcycle ride. You're not really the participant we're looking for. Motorcycle riding is kind of the byproduct.
Yeah.
It's just the riding is how we get the bond built.
Yeah.
But helping to deal with the demons, that's our goal.
Okay.
We're trying to reduce that number that we all hear every day of 22 veterans a day.
Yeah.
We're trying to reduce that number to zero.
Yeah. So just to be clear for those of you that aren't like as steeped in veteran stuff, it's 22 veterans a day commit suicide.
Yes. Yeah. Currently, that is the average.
So how many people go on the ride?
So usually you have three volunteers who are, your personnel or cadre, if you want to look at them like that. And we have anything from 5 to 8 people that participate in the ride. We can take up to 10, but we try not to, the group starts to get too big, and then there's not as much of a repertoire built.
Yeah, everybody kind of, there's like a, you can get a really close group of people, the smaller
five
number.
5 to 8.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And, so we have, what we do is everybody participates in everything. If it's time, we do maintenance on the bikes every day, so you're going out, you're doing...
Okay, so you guys are like doing chain maintenance or...
Absolutely, checking those tires, make sure every day you're going to go out and you're going to check your motorcycle, make sure that it's fit to ride that day and ready to go. You're going to do an inspection, a PMCS, as we know in the military.
Yeah.
That night we come back and you and one other person are going to be tasked, hey, it's time to cook some dinner, let's get in the kitchen, let's get everything put together.
Cool.
And then we're going to sit down and we're going to talk over around the campfire or...
Yeah.
Around the kitchen, things like that. We're gonna help to battle those demons.
That's awesome. So it's sort of like there's a little bit of a support group kind of vibe. There's a little bit of a, therapy. Yeah, therapy through ownership of the process.
Absolutely.
I'm like super excited. The more you tell me about it, the more excited I am about people getting, like, hearing about this and getting involved and donating and all that sort of stuff. So.
And it's not just OIF, OEF veterans. It's also we've had Vietnam veterans. We've had from basically all kinds of different conflicts.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. So I'm trying to think if I have any other questions. So the veterans, they have to cover their travel to fly in. Everything is paid. Everybody's working together.
Yep.
I'm just trying to make sure I got everything covered.
So at the very last day, so we ride Monday through Friday.
Sure.
Friday night, we park the bikes, we bring them back to the garage, park them, clean things up, repack, refit for the next group to take over.
Sure.
And Friday nights, what we do is we have a barbecue at the end of the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And we invite family members.
Okay.
So if your wife or your children want to come to this barbecue and see, what has gone on over the last week, and they can ask questions. And the feedback we get constantly is... from wives and spouses and girlfriends and husbands is this is not the same person that was with us a week ago.
Yeah.
They've a lot more open. They're a lot better. It becomes, it's very, very, very therapeutic for a lot of people.
That's really good. I'm super excited about it.
We are too.
Motor Relief Project. You can Google it. You can find it on Facebook, Instagram, all that sort of stuff.
Yep. And all social media.
Jack.
We got got people grabbing jackets in our little space because we the wind out there is outrageous. Like I just watched somebody's like half a tent, like or half their whole setup just like blow across.
You should have seen last night when it was bad. Last night was way worse.
I'm camping here, and so I was in my car and I could hear the wind real bad.
Oh, it was insane, dude.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people's stuff got blown down. I know the Moscow Moto guys were gonna pack up. We're gonna set up last night.
Yeah,
but they didn't, so they ended up having to come in super early this morning and get all set up.
We watched a picnic table go flying in through the air into a car. It was crazy.
I wish I could have been there to see that.
It was sad and funny at the same time.
Yep. So much about the military is sad and funny at the same time.
Isn't it, though?
All right, man. Well, it was great talking to you. Thanks for sitting down. I'll try to get this out as soon as I can. I should have some downtime later. I'll probably just load it on my laptop and post this out and get, you know, to get the word out as quickly as possible.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the time, man. Really.
Yeah, no problem.